Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God Himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Anybody ever had to cry in the midnight hour? I'll trust you, my God. And that has to be our declaration. I'll trust you. Amen and praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. And worthy to be praised. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with Woman to Woman. And it's a privilege and honor to come to you on the day after Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I pray that your day was blessed. And I just wanted to play that song, just a little bit of that song, just to remind you and to remind myself that we're in a season where we are trusting God. And you know, the truth to be told about it, that season should be ongoing, where we are always declaring from our mouths, Lord, I will trust you. I will trust you no matter what it looks like, no matter what they say about me, no matter what I'm going through, I will trust you. So can you trust him today? Amen, and praise God. God bless you. I want to just put my co-host on the air. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you, woman of God. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Maybe that's not my co-host. Okay, I'll just put you on hold. Amen. Praise God. My co-host has not, I guess my co-host has not called in yet. I was looking at area code 919, but I believe that is Miss Janine. if I'm not mistaken. I believe that that is Mr. Neen, so none of my co-hosts have arrived. But this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I am here. And I am here, actually, blessed to be here with Woman to Woman. As you know, on this week and next week, we changed the date to Friday because we have the holidays. We have New Year's. And yesterday was Christmas, so I didn't want to go without having Woman to Woman, so I scheduled the broadcast for Friday, and I'm still waiting for my co-host to call in. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. It's good to see all of you out there, an hour to empower. God bless you. I've been so blessed by your shows. I've come over and I've had the opportunity to call in and contribute. And I just thank you for giving me the space, amen, to just add my input into so many of the things that we go through, especially as women. So I have been blessed by coming over there. And also, hey, to my daughter and the Lord, Mrs. D. Neal. I adopted her. She has a pastor, but I adopted her, and I'm just sharing in the labor of her pastor, and I'm glad that she calls me pastor. Amen. So it's just good to see both of you there, and on this day after Christmas, how was Christmas? How was Christmas for you? Did you have a blessed day? So many people were going through on Christmas. We had in the news right here in New Jersey, in Bloomfield, there was a family traveling to their family's house for Christmas morning, and a tree fell on the vehicle and crushed the car, killing the driver and his mother, and the one of the children in the back seat had a broken leg, and the other child was hospitalized as well. Tragic, tragic, tragic event on the Christmas morning. We never know when our time is going to be up. That's why we have to make sure that we're living life to the fullest. Amen. And we have to make sure that we have dealt with our issues and that we are doing the best that we can. Amen. So that when we get to meet God face to face, we can get that well done, my good and faithful servant. It's tragic. So I'm praying for the family. Amen. I am praying for this family. And also for anybody that had to deal with the death of a loved one. I did the funeral for a 90-year-old saint woman of God on last week, and she was 90. And she was ready to go home and be with the Lord. But her family, of course, was not ready to see her go. So they had a Christmas that was mixed emotions, dealing with the fact that their loved one had to pass. Amen. So we never know. You know, we never know what we're going to have to deal with from day to day. That's why we have to trust God. That's why we have to trust God beyond trust. And I'm so glad that the chat room is busy. I want to welcome guest 570 because I do want to hear from you all today. I want to talk about relationships today. Last week I talked about relationships, and I want to continue talking to women about your relationships. I want to know where you are in your relationships. I want to know how you're dealing with your man, how you're dealing with your husband. I want to know whether you believe that you have unlocked the key for effective relationship. Where are you pertaining to your relationship with men, with men? I'm not talking about just your relationship with God. We know that that is important. But what I'm finding is that a lot of women are having problems when it comes to relating to the men in our lives. So that's what I want to deal with today. I dealt with it a little bit on last week. It got hot because I just took off the gloves and took off the sheets and began to deal with our issues pertaining to the relationships that we have with men. So get ready, because we're going to take off. We are going to take off. Call some of your single friends. Call some of your married women friends. Tell them to come in and call in to talk to me about relationships. If you need advice this will be the place to come because I'm willing to give advice on today. I have been there, I've done that, got some t-shirts, and there are certain things that I am not going back to, but I can definitely shine some light on those particular issues, and if you're dealing with them, amen. So I want to just go to the chat room and see what's going on in the chat room. I will be checking in with the chat room often, especially if my co-hosts don't get here. I don't know. I might need some new co-hosts. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. They didn't show up last week, and they're not here today. I understand Prophetess, she calls in on her lunch hour at work. So she is probably, and she also had a funeral this week of a friend of hers that died suddenly. Suddenly, this woman had a cold for several weeks, and she didn't get any better. So she went to the emergency room at the hospital and was diagnosed with pneumonia. And the next thing you know, she was gone, and she was in her early 40s. So suddenly, our prophetess lost her prayer partner, her friend, and they had the funeral on Wednesday. So she may be still recovering from that. Tina Michelle called in when I wasn't here last week, and I haven't talked to her yet since. But we'll be back in place, the three of us. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. All things work together for the good of those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. And nothing happens by chance. Maybe God just wants me to share some of my relationships tips, survival tips, and success tips with the women. And maybe he wants you to call me and talk to me about some of these things that are going on in our relationships. Amen. Hallelujah. Mrs. D. Neal is asking for prayer for her father-in-law. She says, please keep my father-in-law in prayer. I will do that. I will do that, Mrs. D. Neal. And she says that they ate and had a good time on Christmas. Amen. It's, they had an hour to empower, had a nice Christmas. Mrs. D. Neal is saying that they did not use their finances wisely this year. She's not accepting the world's recession. We just didn't use wisdom, and that is so true. So often we don't use wisdom. So we couldn't buy gifts as we wanted. She said, but we were all together and ate and had a good time. And that's really what it's about, Dana, family getting together, having a good time. You know, I think it would be nice sometimes just to say to family members, look, let's not buy any gifts this year. Let's not buy any gifts this year. Let's just spend time with each other and love on each other and be together and enjoy each other, enjoy family. I think that would be like the best Christmas ever. And that's what we did on yesterday. We didn't exchange gifts. We were just together as family. Everywhere we went, we just took ourselves and our love for the people that we were going to see, and we had a great Christmas. No stress, no strain. You know, we didn't have to worry about bills coming in after the new year. We had a good time. Amen. And it was a blessed Christmas. It was an hour to a power says the same thing, that it was not a stress Christmas. So maybe we just need to stop spending money and just change the tradition and give gifts throughout the year, you know, just because you're thinking of someone, that would make a world of difference. Amen. And Dana Neal, happy birthday to your oldest daughter. I see you said your oldest daughter shares a birthday with Jesus. God bless you. Prophetess, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. How are you?
God bless you. I am doing well. So I see you're off today.
Yes, I am.
Amen. Well, thank you for your faithfulness. I was just talking about you and Tina Michelle. I said, well, do I need to get some new co-hosts?
You know, the enemy had me all twisted up past. I was dialing into the other number, then going into the other link. I said, now, wait a minute now. I had to step back, calm down, and I got it together.
Well, you didn't spice the eggnog, did you?
I had the eggnog.
Nah, I know you're one of our leaders. I know you're not taking any strong drink.
Oh, no. If it comes through some Sprite and some ginger ale, then hey.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I tell you. Well, I'm just joking with you. You know I'm just joking with you, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good day. How was Christmas?
Christmas was wonderful, and I joined in at the tail end of what you were talking about, how with the stress. Pre-Christmas, you know, didn't go crazy, didn't go broke. I mainly focused on like my younger nephews, my grandson, and that was it. And we came together, had dinner. What I had, I shared. My sister and her sons, and you know, a few people came over, and we just had a good time. We played Taboo, the game where you have to make out what the person's acting out, and we played Scrabble. So we had fun. It was a blessed day.
Wow, yeah, it was a blessed day. Yeah, we played Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
With the plug and play, you plug it into the TV, and it was so real. It was good. We had a good time. You know, the kids and the adults and everybody got together, and no stress, no stress.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just so glad you for your faithfulness.
Thank you.
For your faith. Pastor and I always talk about you and your faithfulness.
Amen.
You and the family, you and Sister Linda and Sister Tara. So what I wanted to talk about today is relationships. Last week I started talking about relationships, and I was talking about how we as single women are conducting ourselves or need to conduct ourselves in our relationships. And it got a little bit hot, you know, because, you know, I just, you know, that's my ministry,
right?
To deal with women and some of the issues that are relevant to us. And I don't want to just talk about singleness, but also marriage. One question that I asked on last week, Prophetess, was should we be looking for a husband as single women? Is it okay to look for a man? Is it okay to look for a husband? And how do we know when the right one comes along? You know, there was another question that I had. I can't remember that other question, but one of them was, should we be looking for a husband? And the other one was, how do we know when the right one has come along? And I guess another question that can be asked is, what do we do in the meantime while we're waiting for that Boaz to come along? And then I want to later on talk about keeping that man. So often we worry about how to get a man. You know, you read different magazines, how to get a man. But I think that the bigger problem is how to keep that man, you know, not more so as how to get him. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray because we're going to need some prayer. We only have 41 minutes left. But we're going to pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name today. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for this time that you have allowed us to come together, woman to woman, with our sisters on this day after Christmas. And God, we ask, Father God, that you touch and anoint this broadcast, Father God, and that you let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be ever so acceptable unto you, Father. We ask that you, Father God, give answers to some problems, Father God, some questions that may have been asked, Father God, in the hearts of your women. And Father God, that you give us direction, Father God, and guidance onto the way that we should go. And Father, at the end of the day, we shall be ever so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, and open the ears, Father God, of those who, Father God, are mute so that they can hear. Those who are deaf, Father God, so that they can hear what it is that thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless every woman, God. Bless every woman under the sound of our voices. Amen and praise God. So, Prophets, what do you think about that? Last week I talked about women in their singleness, you know, but every woman that's single does not want to be married. I think we can agree with that.
Well, we can. I'm one that I do desire to be married, but there are some people out there that's their choice.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's one thing that I was saying, that if you have a desire to be married, then that's okay. You know, it's okay. Now, for you who desire to be married, do you think it's okay for women who desire to be married to look for a husband?
Well, you know, Pastor, I'm not in agreement with a woman looking for a man, because the scripture says that whosoever findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. So it's not for us to go out there looking and seeking out a man. But mm-hmm. I believe that if we are positioned in the right way, the right form, God will allow us to be put in the eye of whoever it is that he desires for us to, you know, be committed to. You know, he'll allow the connection to take place. That's what I believe.
Amen, amen. And that's what I said or last week. I said, you know, we don't have to be out there. I don't think women should be out there actively looking for a man, like, I got to find a man, I got to get a husband, I got to find a man. And that every man that walks, you know, they make these jokes about every man that walks into the church, a woman will say, the Lord told me that that's my husband, you know, that's my Boaz, that's my husband. Every time a single saved woman meets a single saved man, she feels like that's her husband. But I do believe that we need to be looking to see who's looking for us.
Right.
You know, I do believe that we should not be so closed off to say, you know what, that we don't see when that man has come into our lives, and that we don't see, when I'm talking about see, I'm not talking about with the physical eye, but we don't see spiritually, that this man may be someone that the Lord has sent into our lives. You know, I just believe that sometimes we miss it. You know,
right.
We're praying for a husband. Women are praying for a husband. I say we, but not really me,
mm-hmm.
because
right.
You know, I got saved, and my husband was the one who evangelized me, so my story is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that sometimes women are praying for a husband, and then when a man comes along and he shows interest in them, they shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what's going on with that? Maybe as a single saved woman, you can shine some light on why that happens.
I don't know. I mean, well, first of all, sometimes we as women, sometimes past situations, past hurt, past, you know, devastations, you know, will allow us to push a good person away.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. That's good. The issues. So we got issues. You know,
right.
So you would agree that we have issues as
correct,
women,
correct.
Amen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes those issues stand in the way of us seeing a good man. Because I have a, you know, I don't agree with this, the way that he said it, but my old pastor once said that we're so used to bad men in our lives as women that we wouldn't know a good man if he came up and hit us upside the head.
Right.
You know, that so many women are so inundated with bad men and bad relationships because we pick them. Let's just put it out there. We pick the wrong
true.
Men, and we
true.
Allow ourselves to get into the wrong relationships, that when a good man comes along, we can't see it, or we've been so bruised by those old bad relationships that we can't mm-hmm. receive a good relationship. That happened to me. I had so many bad relationships that when Pastor Emily did come along being a good man, I couldn't receive it because I thought he was just like the rest. I thought all men were dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought all men were liars. I thought all men were cheaters. I thought all men had something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just my mindset as a single woman. So when I met him, I was like, well, this is just another, you know, joker who's going to lie to me or cheat on me or, you know, treat me badly or, you know, really not know how to honor me as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I had issues, you know,
right.
I really had issues. And that's as a woman coming out of the world into the church. But I find that a lot of women that I speak to in the church, they meet these men. First of all, there are a lot of single men in the church, right? I mean, not
right.
a lot. But
mm-hmm.
there's some single men in the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the single men are in the church with single women, what's so difficult about them getting together? And you guys can call in. I mean, if you want to be in this conversation, you can shine some light on the subject, because these are questions that I'm asking myself. 646-652-4832. What's so difficult about a man in the church getting together with another sister in the same church? Because what I find that happens oftentimes is that men will go out of the church. They will leave their church where there are single women, and they'll go to a bar and then meet a woman and bring her in and marry her, or they'll go and marry somebody who's not in the church, or maybe they'll go somewhere to another church and marry somebody from another church. Is there a problem with marrying in the same church, meeting and marrying within that same family?
I mean, I don't think that there's a problem, but if he's going somewhere else to look, maybe it's just something in that person that hasn't captured his eye or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a problem, you know, with you being in the same church and, you know, you become attracted to each other. But if a person is going outside, looking outside somewhere else, you know, it's just something that person's, I guess, looking for, something specific that person might be looking for in that mate that they're trying to seek out.
Amen, because that's what Sisters with Voices is saying in the chat room. She's saying most of the time when we pass over a good man, it's because the person is not packaged on the outside as they would like. They are caught up in the wrap of the gift instead of the focusing on the true gift. And I think she's talking about the question about men going outside of the church. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were answering, Sisters with Voices? And I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. Guest 618, Sisters with Voices, Mrs. Quiet Storm, Tag, and also Jay Strickland, An Hour to Empower, Mrs. D. Neal. Is that what you were saying, that men are looking and they're not seeing the woman package as they would like? Because I think it works both ways. I think that women are turning down the right man because he's not tall, dark, and handsome.
Right.
You know, that's a problem, you know, that when the right man does come, you don't see him because it's not what you asked God for. It didn't meet your specifications. Like, you asked God for, so you want him, God, send me a man, oh, send me a husband, Lord, and I want him to be 6'5", and I want him to be a white-collar executive, and I want him to be, Lord, let him be brown, like brown sugar, and Lord, let him be let them have a lot of money and let them drive a BMW, God. And, you know, we give God our list of what we want in a man, but we're not trusting God to give us what he knows we need.
Yes, because the thing about it is, Pastor, you know, God knows what's best for us. And sometimes, you know, it's just like you said. If the package, well, let me say this. This is what I've said in my past situations and circumstances, and I said it to someone. I said, you know, I think a person, they made a comment about, let's say, well, you know, I don't think she's cute enough for him or whatever. But I said, you can have the finest of the fine, and they can take you through hell. So you can't go by that outward exterior.
Yeah.
I don't care how good he look, how good he smell. There are chances sometimes that they will take you through, and I know from experience.
I like the way you said that. I don't care how good he looks or how good he smells.
Come on.
Because they could take you through. You know, look at
that. Look at that. You can't go by that only.
Yes. Amen. What you see and what you smell is not enough.
Exactly.
You know, right, because they can really, really take you through. And we have a caller, a couple of callers. Let's put one of our callers on the air. Area code 713, you're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Misty from Sisters with Voices. I just couldn't help but sit still and not tell my testimony.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in, Misty. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, you know, once I really surrendered my all to God, I had two failed marriages, and I really fought the Lord, just what is it I'm doing wrong? And I finally just cleansed myself from all of my soul ties. And I just waited on God. I said, Lord, this time I'm allowing you to choose. And so I went on, and I just started focusing on God. And so when I was taking a class on the Book of Ruth with my pastor, and my husband sat at the front row. He was younger than I. He was a youth pastor at another church, and wasn't to my appeal when I say that I had, you know, already wrote to God what I wanted in a mate, that he would make more money than I, that he would be older than I, that, you know, all these stipulations. And then one day God began to say, if you have all these stipulations, then you're not allowing me to choose. Long story short, my husband at the time did not. He was driving a hoopty. He wasn't making a lot of money, but he was a man after God's heart. And when he approached me, I just said, okay, Lord, is this really what you're telling me? You know, I had to humble myself and remove the outer package. And I tell you, I would have missed out on God because he is a wonderful man of God. And now he has more money than I. He has a wonderful job. God was saying, you know, don't look out at the outer package.
Right.
Yeah. Look at the gift that's inside. And I think a lot of women miss out on God because they're looking at what they see with the natural eye instead of looking in the spiritual.
Wow. Wow.
He treats me better than any man has ever treated me, and I just thank God that I didn't miss out on God, you know. I was so close to saying, no, you know, he don't have it together. He don't, you know, he don't add up to what God would say. But when I started talking to him, and I knew he was about God's business, and that he would treat me like a queen, because when you have a man of God, he's going to line up with the Word of God. He's going to treat you like the Word of God says, and I think that's why we miss out.
My God. That's just a beautiful testimony. How long have you been married?
2 years in June. 2 years in June, it'll be.
Amen. And you're happily married.
Happily married. I have 3 boys from a prior marriage, and he treats them like his own. It's just a wonderful thing, and, you know, now I'm in ministry, and it's like, oh, my God, you know. So we have to look at where we're going and not where we are at. We have a lot of stipulations, but we're not looking at where we're at, you know. We don't look at, and, you know, if we just focus on ourselves and fix us first before we go out looking for a mate, then God can give you what you need, not what you want, but what you need.
Right.
You must first look at yourself in the mirror and say, what is it that's not right with me?
That's good. That's good.
And I realized that when I asked that question before I met my husband, it was that I had some selfish ways of thinking, and I didn't want to bend. You know, I thought everything should be like roses, and that's why I had 2 failed marriages, because I didn't want to bend. You know, everything had to go my way. But when I had to look in the mirror and fix me, I tell you, that is when God gave me what I needed. Not what I wanted, but what I needed.
My God. I feel God right there. Somebody's getting deliverance from this testimony, because we get so rigid that we think it's not us, that it's wrong. Everything's wrong with him. I can't believe he did this and he said that, and I'm upset with him because he didn't do this. And we so often point the fingers at him, you know, what he's doing wrong. But we really do need to take introspection and look at ourselves and say, you know what? There's a common denominator in all of these failed relationships.
Right.
That's me. I need to look at me. Me, oh, Lord, standing in the prayer. Yes, Lord.
Not only that, I think the biggest thing is we don't heal from the other relationship. And we take that baggage and we keep carrying it over. And a lot of good men come by and we run them over with the bulldozer because we can't see past the hurt. And so, you know, the healing process was the biggest thing for me, that once I really healed and I forgave, and, you know, that's a big thing for us women. We don't forgive. We say we forgive.
Right.
But if we're forgiving them, why does it keep coming up in every relationship?
That's good.
Why is that the same thing comes up in the next relationship because of what someone else did? You really did not forgive that person then.
That's it. The spirits of relationships past, those soul ties you talked about, those unhealthy soul ties, those spiritual connections that you have had with people from the past that you have not relinquished and you have not had surrender under the blood of Jesus. You know, some of us,
right.
we just need to be prayed over. We need to have those soul ties broken in our
right.
lives. My God, that's just awesome.
God is awesome in my life. I just thank him. I thank him for removing the scales off of my eyes because I tell you, I probably would still be out there making the same mistakes over and over again. It was a cycle, and I want to just encourage women who are still waiting on God, look at your cycle because I guarantee you, if you look at every person that you've been with, there's a cycle that repeats itself. And so you must really look at yourself and say, okay, I really need to figure out what it is I need to heal from, what I need to release that soul tie. That is so important. And it's not that we're bad women or we've made the worst mistakes. It's because we have just not healed. And we haven't been delivered and set free from those things. And so I just encourage you all, if you're single and you're waiting on God, and while you're waiting, you have to do your part because faith without works is dead.
That goes right into the other question. What do you do while you're waiting? You have to do your part. But let me ask you a question. I want to, some people are listening out there, and they're like, well, I have soul ties, and I know I have soul ties. But how do I get rid of these soul ties? How did God heal you? How did you get delivered, Misty, from your soul ties?
Praise God. I tell you what, God healed me through the Holy Spirit, and he began to tell me to write down each person I have ever had a sexual relationship with. And even if I did not remember, he brought back to my remembrance. And I had to write each person's name down, and I had to begin to pray and ask God to release each person from that soul that was tied to me. And after I did that, I had to then pray for them. And then after that, I had to ask God to forgive me. And after I did that, God began to say, now you need to forgive them. And after I began to do that, I began to just study the word and ask God to do it. It was all in faith. It hurt because all of the scales were uncovered. You know, all the dirt was kicked off. All the pain came back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to deal with it in my faith. I had to heal and forgive and be delivered and set free. And see, that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to go back to the hurt. We don't want to dig that
right.
back up because we say we're over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but we say we're over it and we
right.
kick the dirt up on it. And we're really not over it because it's still there. And once the water begins to rain and the dirt goes away, the pain comes back.
Mm.
But when you're really, truly delivered and healed and set free, when the pain comes from someone else, you're never hurt again because you didn't know how to forgive. And true forgiveness is when you can really pray for that person.
That's true.
And I tell you, when you begin to take the focus off of you and your hurt and start praying for someone else that's hurt you, you will see God do miraculous things in your life.
My God.
No one can ever hurt you again because you go back through that process all over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only with sexual relationships. It's with family issues. It's with any hurt.
Go ahead and talk about that. Go ahead.
You know, and we must understand as women that most of the hurt that we are dealing with is from our past. From our family, from our generational curses. It goes deeper than just the relationships you have been in. It's a cycle that repeats itself. Go back and look at your grandma, your grandfather. You know, it's all in the generational curses that's been put upon us. But know that you've been washed in the blood. But, again, faith without works is dead. And that's the part that Christians, that we're missing. And that's why we're still hurting in the church. Because we don't want to do the work.
Yeah, because it hurts. Right.
It hurts bad.
Right. It's easier to just carry that pain, you know, like a prized possession. I'm going to carry this pain. It's not so bad on some days, you know. But then the same pain is keeping us, is keeping you from walking into the life more abundantly that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and got up so that you could have. So we have to realize that God's plan for us is greater than our pain, greater than us carrying this pain around. And this pain does have a purpose. And the purpose is to create in some of the characteristics of God that we need in order to resemble him, in order to look like him, in order to fulfill the call that we all have on our lives. And all of us have a call. Missy, you have an awesome call on your life for ministry for women. And I'm just so glad that you called in on today. I want you to stay with me. I do see we have another caller. Stay with us just for a little while if you can.
I will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Area code 919. I believe this is Janine. Did you want to be on the air? You're on the air. Area code 919. Okay. She probably calls in to listen. But I want to. There's a question in here about forgiveness, and there's somebody saying, you know what? Yeah, I know that's easy to say. That I have to forgive people who have hurt me. I have to forgive myself. I have to receive forgiveness. I have to ask God to forgive those who have hurt me, to pray for them. But it's not that easy. You don't know what they did to me. So what do you, ladies, prophetess, what do you say to someone who says, you know, they don't even say I want to forgive. They say, I hear you saying that I must forgive, but it's hard.
Can I just say this?
Go ahead, Misty.
Can I just say this? I don't know your story, and I don't know your testimony, but God is the same God that healed me from my hurt. And my stepfather put a gun to my head at the age of 14 to take my life. I was so close to being sexually abused. I've been through domestic violence. My story goes deeper than that I can see. I may sound like it's all easy and that I only went through a few hurts and pains, but I can tell you that the same God that has healed me can heal and deliver and set you free. And don't allow the enemy to say that your hurt is too deep because God is the same God, and he's not a respecter of persons. So you must receive what it is that God is saying to your heart right now. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that your hurt is too deep.
Wow.
And I don't know who that is, but don't allow the enemy to tell you your hurt is too deep and that what that person did to you is too painful, because nothing is too painful for God, because there's nothing that he won't do for you.
That's right. He says, my arm too short. You know, I can deal with it. God can put his hand on that situation and put his hand on your heart and heal you and heal your heart and give you a brand new heart. Area code 510, I see you. We're going to put you on the air. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hey, Pastor Rebecca. Hello, everybody. This is Ms. Quietstorm. How are you guys doing?
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you. You know, I was listening in. And there is something, I wanted to share something from my personal experience in regards to forgiveness. One of the reasons I think when we say we forgive but we still harbor is because we don't let go. When you forgive someone, you got to release them. You can't hold that against them or anybody else. But even in my personal experience, I had to take it a step further and accept responsibility for some of the things that were done to me. There were, you know, as women, we have a tendency to overlook things that should be red flags to us or feel like, oh, we can correct that, we can fix that, and we allow ourselves to get in situations where we get hurt.
Mm.
And, you know, when a person is hurt, they always want to blame the other person.
Mm.
I think part of that forgiveness process is taking responsibility. And not saying that everything that happens is your fault, but, you know, if you notice that a man has a bad temper, you know, you see him flare up and get upset, or even women, because it goes both ways, but I'm just saying, you know, since we're talking about women mostly today.
Yes.
If you notice that a man will fly off the handle at the slightest little thing, don't ignore that. but then you get yourself and you say, oh, well, that person should have did. You want to blame everybody else, and then when he abuses you, you find it hard to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is something, so it's kind of like, okay, I ignored that sign. I saw that in him, but I didn't address it. You know,
right.
There are some things, you know, if you know there's a, if the man, if you meet a man, and this is a classic example, if a man cheated on his wife with you and left his wife for you,
wow.
Don't think he won't do you the same way he did his wife, that he said
that's
that he
right.
loved and made that commitment to. That's what I mean. So there are some things that we don't acknowledge or we don't pay attention to, and then we find ourselves in certain situations and we want to blame that other person. Well, we had an opportunity to step away from it, but chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So part
exactly.
of the forgiveness process is saying, okay, I need to take responsibility for some of the choices that I made. Was it right that he cheated on you? No.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you knew that that was in his nature and his makeup
mm-hmm.
to cheat.
Mm.
Because why? You met him by him cheating on somebody else.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And not to say people can't change, because I really believe God can change a man's heart, a woman's heart, anybody's heart, who would yield and submit themselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
But then their nature changes. They become a new creature. So now you're dealing with a different person than that person, you know, we want to see, you know, and I heard someone mention about lists earlier, you know, I've seen women with their long laundry list of stuff that they want in a man, and what I've always been amazed is nothing has anything to do with their spirituality. It's always about the money, how he looks, what he drives,
right.
where he works.
Mm.
But
and
he can have all
Lord,
of that.
Be saved, right.
Yeah, you know, but then it's not enough, not just save, but have a real relationship with God. Because
right.
I'm a firm believer that if a man's life is not lined up with the word of God or a woman's life, if she doesn't understand, he or she will never take the time to understand God's order for relationships and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get that in your spirit, then we always have a tendency to want to be selfish. You know, we always have a tendency, we'll have a tendency to make issues out of things that are not really even issues. I went to a singles conference and I attended a workshop. We always, and one of the things that the facilitator said is we always go in, what can you do for me?
Right.
But one of the things that we should always be, how can I help this person? And not necessarily seeking a relationship, but sometimes when you befriend a person and help that person, that helped that person, you know, to get to the next level in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then God may bless that relationship, that friendship, to become more. And so we have to also look at how we approach relationships always. And that's what the world teaches. What you can get out of it, get out of it. You know,
right.
I think about people with prenups. You go in, to me, that's going into a marriage expecting your marriage to fail.
Exactly.
And
that's a great point that you make, Ms. Quiet Storm, because but you know what really bothers me about all of this and everything that we said and why I wanted to talk about this today is because we go to conferences and we go to these broadcasts here on Blog Talk Radio. We read books. And we hear sermons talking about everything that we're talking about, but yet we continue as women, and I say we as a whole, because I've made some of the same mistakes, to keep moving forward in the right, in the wrong direction. We keep picking the wrong men. We keep allowing ourselves to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. We keep doing the same pattern over and over and over again, and we refuse to look at ourselves and do something about the wrong that we see within our own selves.
But
that's where
you said two key things. Number one, we pick.
Yes.
That we pick instead of allowing ourselves to be prepared for the person God has chosen for us. There's a big difference. And then you said something else, we allow ourselves.
Yes.
To focus on that, as opposed to saying, Lord, I'm going to focus on you, like you say in your word. The unmarried woman takes care of the things of the church, how she may please God. I'm a focus on that, but yet we get to the point where we allow ourselves to be deceived. Oh, I'm so lonely. Oh, it's Valentine's Day and I don't have nobody. Oh, I sure would like the companionship. I'm tired of sleeping in the bed by myself. We our focus gets off.
But stop that. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Okay, now, ladies, okay. But every single woman that's listening and every single woman on this line will admit, and everyone who's ever been single will admit that those are some very real feelings. And as people, we still have feelings, you know. And we sit there, some of us who, I mean, I wanted a husband. I have to say it. God knew that I had to have me a husband. Amen. I wanted a man in my life. And I'll admit it. I admit it. Like Prophetess said earlier, she said she wants to be married.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with having the desire.
No, there's nothing wrong. I'm not coming against the desire. What I'm saying is we focus so much on it.
Yes.
We focus so much on it to where we let these feelings dominate us,
that's
as opposed
it, right
to when
there.
We have these feelings, we go to God and say, God, I'm feeling lonely. Please help me here. You see, it's where we focus that causes us the problems. I tell people all the time, do not discount your emotions.
Mm.
They're valid. Emotions
Amen.
Help you understand where you are.
Right.
It's what you do with those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
If you get so focused on those emotions to where your focus is being turned away from God, and then you get to a point, because think about it, when a woman starts saying, or when a man even starts saying, I'm lonely, what do? They start going to different places. They start going to places where they feel they can meet people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now you're in a club. Trying to meet. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I got it. So, amen. So basically, what is your advice to, and I see in the chat room that Mrs. D. Neal says that married women have those feelings also. And
mm-hmm.
the Bible talks about that there's no worse thing than a woman who is not loved by her husband.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, we need another hour for that. you know, and
you
I
know,
wanted to talk about that. But
my
let me ask you a question. I want to talk about that. What is your advice to a woman who may be single or married and finding that she's lonely?
You know, my advice would be to take those feelings, because they hurt. That's a hurting feeling to feel that, especially if you're in a relationship with someone that says they love you, your husband, and you're not feeling that. You know, take it to God first and foremost. You know, say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. If you're in a marriage, you know, and just be open and honest with God about how you feel and allow God to begin to work on you first. If you're married, you know, talk to your husband about how you feel. You know, talk to your spouse about how you feel. You know, maybe even seek godly counsel regarding how can this relationship be healed. You know, sometimes we're involved with people who are hurting us, and they don't realize they're hurting us. You know,
right. Well, they're hurting themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know
hold
people
that
who. Okay.
Hold that thought, Miss. I want to go. I want to have a couple more people answer that question. Misty, what is your advice to the woman who is single or married and finding herself lonely?
I just feel like, again, that feeling that you have is still based on rejection from another relationship or a hurt. It's a deeper level of hurt inside that you haven't faced. And I just really believe in my heart that's what happened to me. I found myself crying myself to sleep at night saying something's wrong with me. What is it? You know, I would look at myself like I'm not doing something right. Maybe I'm ugly, you know. And self-esteem started deteriorating because I would question if I had myself together. But again, if you will look at the inside and really examine the heart and really, really look in the mirror and really deal with the issues of your hurt and pain of the past, because those spirits, that's a spirit of negative, and it's not of God. And we must understand that spirit of loneliness. When you have your heavenly Father that loves you and he's your everything, then you should not be feeling lonely, because he is everything in our lives. And when I began to cry out to God and ask him, Lord, why do I feel this way? He said, it's not of me. Because if you know that I love you and I'm your everything, then you shouldn't have a boy.
Mm.
That void, again, comes from hurt and pain of something else.
Hurt and pain. And then we keep coming back to the same. And that's, this is why I want to identify prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the woman who's lonely, married or single?
Well, you know, there's nothing, first of all, we're human. There's nothing wrong with feeling lonely, and I agree with what the young lady just said. When you're lonely, we have to get into prayer and seek God so that he can give us strength to deal with whatever emotions or feelings that are trying to come up and overtake us. Because, again, just like one of the women just said, when we let our emotions run wild with us, we'll be caught in situations that we should not be in. So the key thing is to lean and depend on Jesus. Yes, we're human. Yes, we're going to feel lonely at times. Yes, you're going to be like, wow, 40 years old, why am I not married yet? You're going to feel like, you know, what am I doing wrong? But the thing is, you don't have to be doing anything wrong. Listen, sometimes God has given the person the word that's supposed to be your mate. They choose to ignore that. What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
You still have to lean and depend on God, because guess what? Where one won't obey, God will raise up somebody else.
Amen.
Wow.
To be that person that he desires to place in your life.
Wow. Wow. And I just appreciate the three of you. Just so much. I did this thing. You don't have to stay. But I wanted to, I just want to deal with this, this thing and just really talk to women's hearts out there, because you're right. It is very real that sometimes I'm lonely.
Right.
Even as a married woman, as a married woman married to a wonderful husband, but he's a pastor. And there are times that he is so preoccupied with the church, with prophetess in them.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
You know, that I'm like, you know, I'm feeling lonely. Like, I need some time and
right.
some attention from my husband, you know. And what you all have said is just so pertinent that I cannot allow that to consume me. I cannot focus on that. And I cannot depend on him to be my source. My source of joy, my source of contentment. I have to go to the Lord for myself. Like I said, the greatest peace and the greatest joy that I have ever experienced have come when I have sought the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling lonely, when the devil tries to intensify those natural feelings,
mm-hmm.
When he tries to intensify them and use them against me, I get quiet within myself. Not all of the time. There are times when I cry.
Yeah.
You know, there are times when I just have me a big old boo-hoo, you know, and I go in my room, I close the door, I get in the bed, and I cry.
Uh-huh.
And there are other times, but after that cry, after I have that cry, I get a grip. And that's what we got to do. You know, cry
right.
if you must,
right.
but then get a grip and
yeah.
realize that that man is not your be-all, do-all, have-all. Amen.
Right.
He is not your source. And women have gotten mad at me. I've had women leave my church because I told them that Pastor Anthony was not my source. And because they're like, oh, he's so wonderful. How can you be so abrasive? It's such a cruel thing. But we better get a grip and stop putting these men on a pedestal,
right,
stop
right,
putting them
yeah.
on the throne, whether he's your husband, your pastor, whatever. We have to stop putting men up in the of God
mm-hmm.
and letting them, if he's not acting right now, I have no joy. That's
mm-hmm.
not right.
Yeah.
It's just,
that's right.
There's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah, God is good.
And God is a jealous God, and we must
mm-hmm.
understand that we cannot, and, you know, that's just like, you know, that's an idol to God.
Right.
Yes.
Place a husband or a man before God, then you're idoling that person.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're seeking out a husband and he doesn't have a name, you're still idoling marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another stronghold that you must release and understand that God is the person
right.
to send the mate.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is wait on God and seek his face and do whatever it is he's called you to do, because you have an assignment. And see, the enemy's job is to distract you from your own vision, your own assignment, your own purpose that he's placed inside of you. And so that distraction may be a hook.
So if you're burning in your flesh, if you want to have sex, you know, and you're single and you're burning in your flesh, what do you do?
My God, I've been there, you know, and you know, again, that is something I had to release from God, to ask God to remove that desire that's within, because it's just a desire. Because once you do it, it's still, that's still a void. You don't have that man next to you every day, so you still have a void. So
right.
What is the purpose of that? To
right.
to release your soul to another person that doesn't deserve you. Don't do it. It's not even worth it. So you have to ask God, release that desire from me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it, because we know it's a temporary fix. It is a temporary fix. You still gonna be lonely the next day or the day after, and you're gonna be feeling bad in your spirit, because now you've taken on another soul. See, it's deeper than that. And, you know, it's deeper than what we see. And I tell the youth that, you know, I'm over the youth ministry. I tell them, you have to think about what you're about to do, because now you're taking on the soul of another person, demonic spirits that you don't have the strength to overcome, because that's not your man.
Mm-hmm.
It's deeper than what we see, you know, that act. All it is
about
an act.
And I want to ask this question, because Janine was with me on last week, and she's still on, and we want to talk about this, and maybe one of you, Ms. Quiet Storm, either. What about that man that tells you that if you don't do it, if you don't do it, if you don't satisfy his sexual needs, somebody else will?
Well, go to the other somebody.
Who said that?
This is
prophetess.
You know, I've gotten to the places like, listen, my aim is to please God. If that's what you feel, do what you must do.
Wow.
Do what you must do.
Wow. And how about if you're saved now and you were having sex before you got saved, and now you're trying not to anymore. You're trying to contain your flesh, and you don't want to. You want to be celibate until you're married. But
right.
you're in this relationship now with somebody that you've been doing. How do you stop even? These are questions that have to be answered.
I've been there as well. I've been there as well. That happened to me, and I tell you, it was a conviction in my spirit that when I did stop, my thought to me was, I'm displeasing God, and that, you know, his hand is upon my life, and if I don't please him, you know, I got out of that void of pleasing other people and start pleasing God.
There you go.
So when you
That's
get that
it.
Process in your mind that I am only going to please God, then you don't care what people say about you. You don't care what the other person thinks, because you're saying, if this is the man God has chosen for me, he's going to wait. He's going to wait, and he's going to do it the way God said. And I tell you, my husband had no problems. We both waited 6 months, and we got married.
Amen.
And
you got married within 6 months?
Within 6 months, and we did not have sex, and it wasn't easy. But, you know, we held each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If I fell in my flesh, you tell me no. If you fell in your flesh, you tell me no. And we held each other accountable, because our job was to please God.
And that's another thing. It does not, like you said, 6 months. How long? It doesn't take a man it does not take a man 10 years to know if you you're the one that he's supposed to marry.
And I said 6 months, God forgive me, it was 3 months. But listen, a man that got, I can't even explain. People say, how do you know? I used to ask, like, how do you know if that's the person for you? It is seeking God's face and fasting and praying and not putting anybody else's opinion to the side, because my family thought I was crazy. Everybody thought, don't do it, this is not right. He has a, you know, he had a was in jail and all this. He was a drug dealer all back in the day. Don't do it. You don't know what you're facing, but that's not everybody's story. But I can tell you that I trusted God.
My God.
I seek God's face. I fasted and I prayed prayed for weeks, and I kept saying, Lord, if this is not the man for me, remove him or give me a sign from the heavens to show me that this is not of you, because I don't want to make another mistake. I don't want to choose the wrong person. I don't want to do anything displeasing to you. You got to get to that place where your job is only to please God and not worry about what people think about you or what they think about the other person, and remove everybody but God. Because then you cannot make any mistakes.
And
you
got to
know that you know.
You got to know that you know. And I just so agree with that. And that's why it's just so important that we have these discussions as women, because I don't think that enough people in the church are talking about some of the challenges that they have. I mean, if you talk to most church people, you know, the lingo kicks in, praise the Lord, God is good, to God be the glory, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. But you very rarely hear people talk about their struggles, you know, what they're going through, what they've had to go through to get to where they are. That's why I believe in authentic ministry that is open, you know, that's open, where you can talk about where you've been, and you can talk about some of the stuff that you've done, and even some of your insecurities, not fears, but your insecurities. That's another thing that I want to touch upon. We're talking about praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, and we do this as women. There are women out there who are listening, who have been praying and seeking the Lord, and even saying, God, I'm seeking you first and foremost. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will take care of your provisions. But people will say, I'm seeking you, God. I delight myself in you, but I do want to be married. And, Lord, I'm asking you in your time, according to your will, to send my husband. But then when the man comes, again, I know we talked about this, but he comes, and he's a man of God. He's a man of the God's own heart. He's praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. But now you're scared. You're questioning, you're doubting that this is the one, and you're like, now, some women just begin to act really foolish and crazy, saying, oh, my God, he might not be the one. You know, what is that about?
Well, again, I experienced that. I questioned God, you know, but I at the same time, I had to listen and obey, and I questioned if he was the right one. I was walking in the spirit of fear, and we must understand God is not of fear. So I had to kill that emotion, like they said. We must kill the emotion and say, Lord, I trust you, and rebuke that negative spirit that's trying to dwell within you, and say, I cast down any spirit of imagination, and I trust God.
Amen. And that's what we have to do, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. To recognize the spirit for what it is, and then we have to identify where the spirit is coming from. And if it's not of God, we have to take it captive and make it subject to the word of God and put it under the blood. I just so agree with that.
But, you know, I think for some women, too, it's like it's not the one I wanted it to be. You see what I'm saying? Oh, God sent him. Oh, but it's not the one that we, you know, that I wanted him to be. I wanted him to be that brother over there. Because, you know, this brother got the look that I want. He got in. You see what I'm saying? They're going back to this, what we can see, you know, with the physical eye. A lot of times God blesses us, but it's not in the way that we want him to bless us, so we have a hard time receiving.
Say that again. My God.
You know, and y'all going to laugh at me because I was talking earlier, and I kept saying, why can't they hear me? Y'all have my phone on mute. Please forgive me. I'm like, can they hear me? My phone was on mute. And I had to laugh, and I said, why can't? And I went, and I said, let me go look at this phone. I said, oh, Lord, I had the phone on mute. Bless the Lord. But, you know, I have really, you know, I have seen women go so far as to name and claim husbands, you know, and I, you know, it was interesting. Because then, you know, the Lord moves in a different way in that man's life, and they're devastated. It's like, wow. So,
wow.
Well, you know, God, I'm like, whoa, okay.
Wow. Name and claim. I'm going to name and claim my husband.
That man, God told, and they were saying, God told me that man is my husband.
That's a good point right there, because you have like seven women lined up for one man. Now God is not of any confusion, so somebody's lying.
Mm-mm.
Somebody
come on now.
My God, he gave that one man 7 wives, prophetess.
7. I mean, come on.
He gave him a choice.
What we dealing with, some concubines here?
Right.
You know what? I look at it this way. He gave that man, okay, now he got a choice of 7 women. You might not be the first choice. Let's just keep it real. Let's keep it real.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality of it. If there's and look at it. If you're saying there's 7 women for one man, he got a choice of 7 women. You might not be the choice.
Wow. And you have to deal with that.
And you got to deal with that.
And realize that wasn't none of your husband. We want you to call in 646-652-4832. What about the man who is your husband? You know, this is what, again, God sent him. He is your husband. You know, he knows he's your husband. You may not know. He knows he's your husband. And he's coming. He's courting you. Now he's pursuing you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're scared. You know, again, now you have been praying and asking God for a husband, but now you're saying, well, I don't know if it's God.
Okay.
What about that?
Now, that's a toughie pass right there.
You know, this is my personal testimony right here. Anytime I meet a person, man or woman, my first prayer is, Lord, number one, is this person supposed to be in my life? Number two, if they are, what is their role in my life? And I pray that especially with men, because we as women will tend to get emotionally attached. And that might not be what their role is. So then that way, I'm not leaning to my own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm depending on God. And then that way, I know, okay, here are the parameters and the boundaries that I need to set. You know, Lord, if this is the person you have for me, prepare me to receive him.
Amen.
As such. I mean, because if I get caught up in myself, and I'm going to speak from my personal experience, then I get emotional, and then my emotions get in the way. Then I get confused. Then I get fearful, you know. Then, you know, I'm saying, okay, I don't want to get caught up here, but see, if I allow God to order my steps pertaining to that relationship, and I can honestly say I have been spared a lot of headache and heartache by doing that, because then there are things that God will show me about that person or make it clear to me, this is your purpose for being in that person's life. That's it and that's all. And then I can set that parameter.
Yeah.
And I know what the boundaries are.
But I just think, and maybe it's me, but I just think that we're missing it somewhere, because there's so many single women in the church. And again, I go back to the fact that there are single saved men in the church still standing back, and they're still single. Now, if I would talk to some men, and I have, some of the men would say, well, the women in the church are too needy. Some men would say, well, they didn't say no. You know, I was expecting her to say no, but when I pushed up on her for sex, she gave it to me. Now, this is a saved man saying something like this, or he might say something like, well, she got issues. She was like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. And I want to say that what we were talking about earlier, that we have to deal with our personal issues and our personal relationship with God, because if the truth were to be told, a lot of us are running the man that God sent away.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'd agree with that. We have to, you know, the truth be told, we all have issues of one sort, one, whatever it may be. And we do need to deal with those, especially when you're talking about you've been hurt in the past. You need to be healed from that before you could even consider going into another relationship. It's human nature to want to hold somebody else responsible for what someone else did. You know, well, you know, in the past, all the men in my life have done blah, 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 blah. Well, this person's not all the men in your life that you've ever dealt with. So why is he being held, or she being held, men too, but we're talking about women today, being held responsible for that? Okay, so then my question would have to be, did you ever get healed from that? You know, did you cry your tears? Did you address it? Did you deal with it and get healed from that? And oftentimes, if you're still holding that, and someone said it earlier, you know, you haven't really been healed. You said you forgave that person, but you didn't let it go. That person moved on with their life. They married somebody else with five kids. They done moved on. Okay. Release them. But let me say this real quick. When you release a person from something they've done to you, you free yourself. You free yourself
to
move on.
Yes.
That is very important.
Yes. And how important is that relationship? Now, this is where a lot of us are getting tripped up. Hear me now. A lot of us are getting tripped up, a lot of women, because I, too, have been through this, are getting tripped up because of the relationship that we had or did not have with our fathers.
Man, that's a whole...
Let's just say it. Let's just
see,
put it out
there. You know what? And that works good or bad, because, like, and my father and I are very close. And my parents just celebrated 50 years of marriage in September. And I still watch how my dad and my mom treat each other. And what I had to get past was the fact that you admire the characteristics that you see in your father, but you have to understand you're not going to marry your dad. There are things that I see in my dad that I admire as far as how he treats my mom. Okay, but I have to understand at the same time, you're not getting ready to marry your dad. Now, you may want some of those same characteristics in your husband, but I always had to make that fine line. You're not marrying your dad. You're not marrying him.
Okay, now that's one side. Where's the other side? I know you're on the line.
My father was not in my life, and all of my life I always questioned why. I had that void, and that's why I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for that void to be filled by a man when it was only God that could fill it. And when I really, really realized that God is my heavenly Father, that He is my everything, that I still had a father. I wasn't fatherless. But in the natural, I was, and so I always longed for a man to tell me that he loved me and that he needed me. And you know, I always was that motherly role to my mate instead of being the wife or the girlfriend. And so I think I really feel in my heart that those of us who did not have our fathers in our lives tend to make a lot more mistakes in relationships because of the void. And we choose the wrong men for that matter, you know, and that's where all of that other from relationship to relationship, because that void is never being filled. And it's just really a deep thing, you know, because you go from relationship to relationship and you don't stay with that person long if they do something that hurts you, because you like, I don't want that other hurt for my dad not being there to be added to. So you let go of that relationship instead of, maybe that person was a good person. They just had an issue or two that you could have worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Prophetess, what's your take on this?
Well, you know, I have a good relationship with my dad. He and my mom, they were married over 50 years. And how about to this day, my dad isn't saved, but my mom is. But my dad, he still possessed good characteristics of a father and a dad. You know, he was a provider. He worked until he was not able to physically work anymore. He took care of the house. My mom never had to work. And just possessed a lot of good qualities. Now, we, on the other hand, it's all girls. It's six girls.
Mm.
So we fell into the trap of, okay, my dad took care of my mom and all of us. But then we as the daughters, we kind of took a little downturn with the men that we dealt with. those that were not providers, those that did not do us good and treat us good. So then the question had to come, like, where did that come from? Because, you know, and I schooled that even to my baby sister, like, where did that come off? You know, Dad was a good provider. He took care of us, blase, blase. So it's like you have to value and cherish yourself and your children more than you do a man. Because our dad did not display that, what they're seeing.
So, wait, I'm sorry. Wait a second. So you said you have to, Prophetess, what was the last statement that you made?
I said, you know, we have to basically take a look at ourselves, and we have to learn how to value ourselves more than what we do.
Wow. Wow. Because that's not what was put in front of you. You were
that
so I have three examples here. I have a woman who had a good relationship with her father. Her father was there. Mm-hmm. And she you're single. Ms. Quiet Storm, you're single?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And then I have another woman who did not have a good relationship with her father, and all of her relationships were the wrong relationships, but she is married now because she dealt with the issues from the past, including the issues that she had with her father. Is that correct, Misty?
Go ahead.
And now we have one more who had a mother and father who was there, but you went in a totally opposite direction. You did not choose them. My God.
Pastor Rebecca, but I want to add something to what I just said. I want to add something to that. Because and even though I had that positive example, it turned into a negative for me in some ways, and this is why. And I say this as be very careful. You know, when you first meet a person and you get into a relationship, most people, it's their nature, I'm gonna put my best foot forward.
Yeah.
I'm going, you know. And I would see these things that seem to be characteristics that my dad had, like, oh, okay. But then it seemed like as soon as the relationship started going, I started noticing the flip side, which was the true nature of that person. So, and one of the mistakes that I made was not really taking the time to really get to know the person and taking them at face value. And, you know, so I'm thinking everything's going this way, and then I'm starting to wonder, why is everything going off?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really take the time to get to know that person. I took them at that best foot forward and thought that that's how it was going to be going forward. But when that person got comfortable with me and I got comfortable with them, then, as I like to say, they took the weave out and the real them came out. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
The real them came out. And so then that caused me a lot of problems in relationships because I couldn't understand. You see what I'm saying? I never saw the negative side of it. And honest to God, my parents have been married 50 years. If they fought, we never saw it.
Right. And that's the thing that I wanted to say. I wanted to add this. What your parents were like with each other is one thing. What I was asking was about our relationships with our father, our relationships with our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's a disconnect between A lot of the women who are having problems in relationships, they would disconnect in not their father's relationship with their mother, but in their relationship with their father. See, this was the missing link. You know, I believe that a girl first learns about real love from the way that her father treats her. From the way that he treats her, whether you know he tells her she's pretty. See that after. And from a man, it's just so important to so many of us. We're so needy and so desperate for a man to tell us that we're pretty, that we go to all lengths to get that attention from men. And that's one thing that I think that really is maybe turning some men off, even in the church, that somebody has a lot of background noise. I don't know where it's coming from. But even in the church, some women are presenting themselves in such a manner that that man is looking and saying, I can't take her home to my mother. You know, even in the way that we dress sometimes, and again, that's a whole nother hour that we could go into. Yes. But we're advertising too much, you know.
Right.
It's just, you know, there's nothing left to the imagination. And women in the church are dressing like women in the world, and that's a whole nother topic.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to, when it comes to relationships, today we're talking about relationships. This last 6 minutes, I want all three of you, because all three of you have spoken such great wisdom. But in this last 6 minutes, I just want to pinpoint what it is that we have to do, and I know we've already said it, but somebody just tuned in, and a question I didn't ask is, should you even ask a man to marry you? Is it okay for a woman to ask a man to marry her? You know, that's another question that I wanted to talk about. I don't know if we have enough time, but if you're in a relationship with somebody for 5 years, and you're already sleeping with that man, and you're both calling yourself Christians, then it's time for somebody to start proposing. I don't care who does it. at that point.
the discussion needs to be had, okay?
Yeah.
The
know,
discussion needs
point,
to be had, I understand.
We're both going to church. We might be going to different churches.
Mm-hmm.
But, but we're going to church, and we're in this relationship, and it's a sexual relationship. I'm going to be like Ruth now. I'm getting ready to come to the threshing floor, you know.
Come on.
You know, and tell you, look, you know, I done uncovered your feet. We done rubbed toes. We need to do this thing. We need to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't agree with that, then he needs to be kicked to the curb, because his intentions for you are not those that God would have for him to have towards you. He's just having a good time.
Huh.
It's time for us
That's
to
right.
stop letting these men buy us
right.
and have
right.
a good time with
hey.
Us. Time
huh.
out for that.
Huh.
Right.
If you're
well,
in
no.
it, if you're in it, it's time
right.
to come out.
Right.
Okay. You're a woman of God. Even if you're not a woman of God, you're worth more than that. Your value is more than that. It's time
mm-hmm.
for you to stop letting him get the milk for free. My mama used to say, if they get the milk
Why
for free.
Why buy a cow when you can get the milk free?
And you're better than a cow. You're no cow.
Yeah.
You ain't no cow. So stop giving away stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
We just
mm-hmm.
need to stop it. But ladies, in this last 5 minutes, 4 minutes, just let us talk about it. Let's talk about what do we need. How can we be wives? How can we be wives? And what do we do? What do we need to do here? What needs to be done in the midst of everything that we've talked about? What is the bottom line?
I feel like as women, you need to look yourself in the mirror and be honest with what you see. Deal with you and
mm-hmm.
seek God. Seek God for all the answers. Don't seek your pastor. Don't seek. It's okay to get God to counsel, but sometimes God wants you to seek
Go
him.
Go to God first.
And that's why a lot of us get these, you know, godly, supposed to be godly counsel, and everybody that say they are Christian ain't godly.
Mm-hmm.
They have that title, but they're not
spiritual.
Really walking in the ways of the Lord. You know, they have that outer appearance looking like they are, but you need to seek God, because the Holy Spirit that's within you will give you all the answers. You know, you won't question what you're supposed to do if you really seek him. But I think the most important, valuable thing you must do is listen for his voice and
mm-hmm.
not question what he's telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Amen. Ms. Priestall?
And I think Prophetess said it earlier. First of all, we need to value ourselves. And we need to begin to see ourselves as God sees us, and not through the eyes of other people, not through the standards set by the world, but begin to see ourselves and develop our relationship with God so that we can hear his voice when we go to him.
Amen.
We will be able to allow him to order our footsteps. And
mm-hmm.
to completely submit ourselves unto God. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So
mm-hmm.
then when these temptations and that man start pushing up different things that we talked about, we will be able to, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, resist these things, resist the heartache, resist the headache, resist those things, because that's what's really coming at you. the headache and the heartache because the enemy's using that person or that situation to try to come at you and tear you down. But, you know, we will have the power of discernment working in our favor where we can identify those things and back up and deal with them according to the word of God.
Amen. Prophetess.
Amen. Hey, I'm in agreement totally with the other ladies, and I think about myself and thank God for the scripture in Ruth, how when she lost out on what she thought she lost out on, God had a blessing in store for her. So, you know, even with myself, I don't care how long it's been, I know what God promised me. I'm going to receive it. That's why I've put myself, God is putting me in a position so that I can receive all that he has. And the key is obedience.
Mm.
Obedience. Yeah. The key is obedience, to obey. You know, yes, the enemy will come at you in all sorts of different ways with temptation, but who am I going to trust more,
mm-hmm.
that temptation or God?
Amen.
I like
Amen.
You said, you know, and really think about it like this. Prophetess mentioned the word obey. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice and to heed better than the fat of rams. Think about what you would really be sacrificing if you disobey. Think about it.
Amen. Amen. You would get an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. Hold on for the real deal. Stop taking those phony deals. Amen.
Right.
Hold on for the real deal. We only have 29 seconds. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Misty, yes, and Miss Christon for calling in and helping us with this broadcast
Amen.
On today.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Thank everybody out there in the chat room for listening. I see we have a few men out there. Amen. We need to get this information out there. So next week, I just want to spend one more week talking about relationships. Join us next week for more of Woman to Woman. God bless you all. Have a great day. Misty, thank you.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. I love you. Thank you for all your prayers.
Amen, and you too, and I pray that the Lord will continually heal you. He has great things in store for you. And Ms. Quiet Storm, thank you so much.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Thank you
hey,
for allowing me
you.
To share.
And the wisdom that you have in your belly, my God, I've already spoken that God's
yeah.
going to use you mightily. So I'm looking forward to great things coming from you as well.
Thank you.
So, Prophetess, I love you. I will
love
see you
Pastor.
On Sunday. Thank
yes.
you for your
yes.
faithfulness.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you all. We love you, and we'll see you next week right here on Woman to Woman.
Amen.